Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I?
Church and state has come together.
Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I the First. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari. In the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call.
Sunday night, you know you're listening to the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, local number 26, with your host, the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez. Let's put our hands together. She comes to the mic at this time.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much to my wonderful co-host, Dr. James Winborn. I thank you so much for your welcome. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, for the Women Auxiliary, coming to you live and alive on this Sadie Sunday, where we speak some truth. Our brothers and sisters get a chance to express themselves on this wonderful platform. It's a good thing that we can come together, and we are thankful for one more Sunday of the Almighty's grace unto us, for aren't we yet alive to hear each other's voice, for we are yet in the land of the living. So for this, we give thanks. Thanks unto the Almighty for upholding us for one more day in his glory. So, Sadie Sunday, our topic of discussion for this evening, we speak of distractions. And also, we'd like to note that hepatitis is on the rise, but strange enough, it's on the rise for young people, and this is a worldwide phenomenon, and this is affecting our young ones, and they're also dying. But this news has only been given 2 minutes and a quick sweep under the rug, and here we have all the distractions in the world. For whatever reason, we know when there are great distractions, something is going down. But at this time, me and my nosy members of our group cannot yet figure it out. So we are examining the news and we are dissecting it as a frog. So here we go with distraction. We have distraction big time. We have Johnny Depp and his wife, Amber. Don't quite remember her name. But it's they're in court going back and front, and it has almost gotten to be a soap opera. But someone is very bored along the line, because we have seen photos where Johnny, who's supposed to be going through this large $50 million lawsuit with his wife, he's drawing comics and pieces of paper while he's in court. So he is bored to death. So we know that, again, another game, another distraction. Johnny is an actor, you know, he's the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I watched a little part of it because I saw he had the rasta hairstyle and everything. Again, a lot of propaganda. So Johnny Depp, for some reason, had a problem with his wife, Amber. Anytime there's alcohol and drugs involved, people are going to forget. But oftentimes with alcohol and drugs, there comes abuse, whether it be physical, psychological or emotional, there is forms of abuse when you have a partner who does heavy drugs, is an alcoholic, and he's out of control. And Johnny Depp, you know, he played it off as he's the party guy, but this man was on some high drugs, and he used to be out of control. Even there were times, reportedly or allegedly, where he would crash his hotel room, smash things all over, there'd be glass at the floor, you know, throw a tantrum even. But that goes with the territory of money, drugs, and of course, white privilege. So here we go with Johnny Depp and Amber, still into a soap opera. They're trying to drag us all in. It's almost like a TV series, you know, the court case. I have not seen anything like that. It's a circus. But here we are, glued to our TV, or if not glued to our TV, some of us are forced to be part of it all simply because it plays so much on the TV and the news. You really can't escape from it because it was meant to penetrate us in that way, as again I said, major distraction. So off of Johnny Depp for a little while, we have another actress or hip-hop artist, but influential in the hip-hop community, one beautiful black woman, I must say, called Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, quite a name that she has given herself. She has even given herself a little background. You know, I can't make up the story because she lets you know right away she plays on both sides of the fence. You know, she has men are heartbroken, women are heartbroken. Megan Thee Stallion is just going around giving love and sharing her beautiful self, to which, you know, she has signed in too. Again, I'm not here to pass any judgment, but these are some of the distractions. She's on TV, like I was watching Good Day America or whatever, and she was there crying and dramatizing the fact that one hip-hop artist, I don't quite remember his name, so I don't want to call the wrong name, He shot her in the foot about 2 months ago, 3 months prior. But there she was so devastated about the fact that she was shot in the foot. I'm thanking God he didn't shot her in the head, because she wouldn't be around to tell the story. But probably a pinky toe. We know how that probably went. But all the same, drama, drama, drama. She was crying and reenacting the whole situation, saying she had never been shot, and all the saga continued. But the guy who shot her, here he is making a video now where he have women shooting at him. It's just such propaganda and such, you know, such nonsense, because we are adults forced to see, and not us really, but our children, they're forced to see some of the hip-hop artists that they idolize and some of their life stories playing out before them. I mean, some of our children's minds are not so strong, and they would want to follow suit. That's the only thing that worries me a little bit, because I know some youngsters, 16, 17, who wannabes, you know, they see this life as so glorious and perfect, they might just want to go down this path. So again, it is not a good example for the hip-hop artists who know they have quite an influence on our youth and our children to come forward with such nonsense. But here we are, Made for Good TV. So it's not boring. It continues even for those who have to make up the story. And of course, we have the Kardashians, who never seem to come out of the news. A bunch of witches they are, but of course, you know, again, Made for Good TV. So here we have Kim K crying over the fact that another part of the video, which made her perfect because she's a sex goddess, and it's going to be leaked, and she's talking, she has enough money to shut down people, and a whole set of biology. Again, distraction, distraction, distraction. I just feel sorry for the children who are there in the midst, because children learn what they live, and that's simply another second generation of witches. But that's just how the story go, and we cannot do anything about it. That's just the life of celebrities. And again, I say, it sells newspapers. It's made for good TV. For those who have nothing to do, they're quite entertained. So again, it continues. It's a soap opera just about. Then, of course, for another great distraction, we have the White House dinner, which took place just about 2 nights ago. And this was supposed to be something whereby the Prime Minister would be roasted by Trevor Noah, a great comedian. I started watching, but then again, after 15 minutes, I was bored to death. So I guess I can't take it on. Because what I was watching closely at, really, I understand that, you know, Mr. Joe Biden would come out a little later on. So I was just waiting to hear, really, when Trevor Noah drop a line, which will be jokingly, of course, how really comical Joe Biden is. But I can really wait it out. For those who watched it, I would like if they can share with me some information. But what I found, as I looked at the whole package, I realized there were 3,000 people crammed into a large dining room. I mean crammed, because I'm watching and people's shoulders can touch people's shoulders. No one was wearing a mask, however, because, I mean, it's dinner. How do you eat with a mask on? Oh, you can't. You have to unmuzzle. But importantly, where is COVID-19? I mean, COVID-19 was just about a case where don't go outside, because I'm locked down for 2 years almost. And here we are, White House dinner. I mean, Fauci didn't show up because he said it was just too much for him and he's trying to protect himself. After all, being 79 or 80 years old, who wants to be in all that mix-up when your health could be compromised? So again, we see that COVID-19, which was so prevalent on the map, whereby, oh my God, let's take the vax, let's take two vax, let's take a vax and a booster. And for those sheep who went, and I am not saying everybody can make a decision of their own, but I say to myself, not my arm, I'm waiting until this whole thing plays itself out, and then we would see who's laughing now. But there are people who are in a really big panic, oh my God, and of course their jobs. You can't come to work until you have your two shots and your card to prove. People even got in trouble. I mean, men in high standing get in trouble for producing fake ID cards where it showed that they had gotten the two shots. But, of course, their name was not in the database, so they were caught and, I guess, thrown out. I think maybe up to two policemen got caught trying to see if they can slip under and not have to take this wicked vax, which eventually, as time go by, we'll see the destruction it is causing, have caused, and is still happening. But at that point, it was a test run. Let's see how well they're going to comply when we say blase, blase, blase. But again, man appoint or disappoint. And I don't live by the laws of man, so I'll be very clear with that right here and now. So it doesn't matter what man say. Man say, la, 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 whole heap of wrath. And that is just how the story go. Most times they don't even know what they're speaking about, but it's very important for them to say, because a man's in power, and of course power is one of the greatest things, greater than money, and he wants to say because he has an opportunity to express himself, because again, the ego. But the ego, a little bit about the ego is just pride, and it is written, Satan is the father of pride. So there we go. When we have the big egos and this big chip on our shoulder, and everything, we are also very important. But again, what can I say? Some people, that's the way they roll, that's the way they function. The ego rules. But it's not like that. And the other side of town where humility rules and we go by the laws of the Holy One, which remind us that we are children. And it's not a bad thing, because it is written, a child would lead the way. Also, again, this is written in the great books, except you humble yourself of one of these little ones, you can then again find yourself within the heavens and the holy places, because there's only one that is great, and all else is filthy. Not even the angels who adorn the heavenly and part of the heavenly bodies, they also have to subject themselves to the Holy One. So when we go around thinking we are too important, we got to cut that out. And for those who want to continue to walk around that big chip on their shoulder, you know, lucky them, because really, you're not going too far with all of that. It is merely earthly burdens that you're carrying around, thinking that you're also important, giving yourself names and everything else. Oh, man give you names and here you are, you know, with a chip on your shoulder. Again, you're so very important. Again, you are nothing in the sight of God except you are filthy rags, until you could subject yourself to one who sits on his throne, for he alone is mighty and holy. And through his son, the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, then you can get into the heavenly fold. And then and only then, you continue to walk that walk, step by step, precept by precept, and a daily closer walk with the Almighty, we find ourselves being strong and being strengthened. Other than that, as I said, you're just filthy rags and a bunch of nonsense is going on. Hypocrites, liars, there you are. So I have said it. I want to say, however, that within speaking of the COVID-19 vaccine and the fact that the whole world was hype up about this, or we had no choice, we were locked down. People can't go to work. People lost their jobs, their houses. People just lost. But however, what was great within the COVID-19 that I have found to have greatness, a lot of people who told that this is where they go and this is how we do it, found ways to diversify, found other things to do, found themselves having a closer look at themselves, redeveloping, reconstructing, and bringing their better self forward. I recently watched a program, I think it was last night or two nights ago, where we look at the heroes, the people who have done something. And there were probably five various artists or people of importance. And one common conversation that I took from it, from the five people that told you COVID-19 lockdown gave them a chance to invent their better self. Even a musical composer, I was very, very impressed with him. What he decided to do, he said he had all that time on his hands. Of course, Carnegie Hall was locked down. All the orchestras and symphony, they were locked down. So for the, you know, social distancing. So what do you do? I was so happy when I heard the information. He took classical music to the, let's say, the ghetto youth, or the underprivileged youth who parents would not be able to have them take piano lessons. And he was able to take this out there. And he found himself with great joy because he was able to open a school which housed about probably 70 to 100 students. And from there, he found great talent. So it almost brought me to tears because I've seen, you know, little black kids, our children, on the bass, on the cello, on the violin, the piano. This is, you know, unknown territory for them because music lessons is really very expensive. Also, music lessons is very prestigious. You know, the parents, oh, I send my child to the piano lessons. You know, it's very, very prestigious. It has up the ante a bit, but in real, a struggling mom with six kids who has to study to put food on the table because maybe daddy is not there or daddy makes, you know, a low income. There's rent to pay and the rent is going up every day. I mean, it's ridiculous just trying to live in New York. But all the same, this parent, even if she seen the talent in her son or daughter, is unable to pursue such goals because, as I said, piano lessons, violin lessons, private tutor. I mean, just the music, there's a script alone, the sheet. Just, you know, it's impossible for poor underprivileged children to be able to reach that mark. But I would say, whom God bless, no man curse. Some of these children who are seemingly underprivileged have the biggest hearts and greatest talent because it's just in them. And I was able to watch this program with such joy. You know, it brought tears to my eyes because I saw, and also the director, he saw it, and he said it was one of the best things he could have done for his whole life. This is a conductor who conducts symphonies, all San Francisco Orchestra, you know, Carnegie Hall, great, great places that he would conduct. And he said that brought him the greatest joy in his life. So COVID-19, out of such an evil, wicked thing that came upon the earth, came at many good. Because imagine one and ones were able to find themselves, search within their hearts as to what is their true calling, and also death. Once death comes upon you, you start to think, what have I done in this life? Excuse me, as a legacy. What have I done so that I can really, really know I left something upon the earth that I can be proud of? So I see COVID-19 doing something like that, which is all very good. And a lot of people tell you, a lot of journalists, writers, actors, they would tell you that they were able to look deep into themselves, having to spend so much time with self, of the greatness that one can do. And that greatness, with one common factor, was coming from the fact that you were giving and giving freely of yourself. Because the conductor, he didn't charge one penny. In a matter of fact, his hall that the kids came, he had all the instruments there already prepared for them. He didn't say, oh, you go out and buy a guitar, get me a violin. No, he had a hall full of stuff, pianos and everything. All he wanted was the raw talent so these kids get a chance to express themselves in an environment that they would not have otherwise been in. So this was wonderful. I don't remember the conductor's name to give him a big shout out right now because I was so proud of him. I was so, so very proud of him. And here we are again with the COVID-19 story. The COVID-19 story, we have seen at this time, which happened about 2 days ago, or under a week. It's very, very recent. But Denmark, yes, Denmark, that country in Europe, has banned the COVID-19 vaccine. The Denmark Prime Minister, I don't quite remember his name, if I can pronounce such, you know, strange names from the Europeans, but he is saying no more. There's no more vaccination of his population, men, women, or children, of at any length. 2 days ago, I said this happened under a week. He said no more. No more vaccines, no more masks, no more. It's done. So again, we know something like that is going to hit the UK soon, and of course, United States of America soon, and then France and all around the world. But where the COVID-19 goes, since we're such a serious monster, but yet she simply walked away and turned her back, and now we are saying goodbye to her for all the destruction she has left, or real or unreal, imagined or otherwise, it's no more. We on this side of town, we are still waiting to hear no more, but safely enough, we still have to wear our masks. Some of us, well, for me, we're on public transport, so on the buses and the trains, you better wear a mask or otherwise, because someone will be there to tell you or put you off the bus. So this is a case where MTA is not playing. And it's kind of a good thing, too, because what I realized with wearing the mask, you're not able to catch the flu in a strange way, because normally, say 2 seasons or 3 seasons ago, when there was no mask wearing or no mask mandate, people would sneeze, and some people are not so polite to put their hands to their mouth or sneeze within their elbows or cover themselves, and they would spray you down with sputum. So, and then for you who have a low immune system, you will catch the cold because someone sneezed on you. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, this really happened. Yeah, the crowded area, the train crowd, and someone sneezed. Sometimes an action that you really can't hold back. So, or you didn't get the time to block your face in time. But with the mask wearing, I noticed that a lot of people, you know, are not getting the common cold, which is something good because, again, it's another breakdown of the immune system. But for those of us who eat well and we pay attention, it's really difficult to catch the common cold, or even if we do, for some of us, because sometimes I walk in the rain purposely because I enjoy the rain, and I'm telling myself, I know I'm going to get sick. I just know I'm going to get sick. But all the same, for the little girl in me, I'll be walking in the rain, stamping in puddles, no umbrella. And my umbrella is in my bag, but I'm like, damn, I just want to feel the rain against my skin, just as I did when I was 9 years old, and I would walk in the rain. It's probably a childish thing to do, but I enjoy it. And if the rain falls tomorrow, I'm going for a walk in the rain as well. So I would get the sniffles, and then I would come home, and like, oh my God, let me dry my hair. At least let me dry my hair. I dry my feet. Right away, I'm rubbing down with Vicks because I just know I'm going to have the sniffles. But it can't stop the joy of walking in the rain, I'm telling you. Anyone should try it. It's fantastic. Just walk in the rain. I think that thing relieves stress because I'm taking a good 5 minutes walk in the rain. I'm all soaked. And I'm just remembering my beautiful childhood of when school days, we purposely walk in the rain. And that used to be a lot of fun. But all the same, we are grown up now, but some things still stay with us. I'm telling you, I love the rain. So we are here now with thinking about our health. Okay, good health, wonderful health. COVID-19 as well shaped a lot of us into understanding what good health is all about, because for most part, none of us wanted to get sick, apart from the fact that some of us heard that this thing can kill you, because people actually die from this COVID-19, all because, not really COVID-19 being a disease, but COVID-19 having that impact on our immune system. People who are compromised with their health, otherwise they got pneumonia, they got this, they got that, and certain other things. Even the old people who we know, well, they're not going to make it for too long because already the immune system is compromised, their health is dwindling, and with no one to care for you, to give you the right proper food I know of one older man. He's almost like 80 years old. And one day I went to drop something off at his house, a place where he stayed, and I noticed for dinner he was having one McDonald's sandwich, maybe a chicken sandwich or something, but this was like 8 o'clock, this was dinner, and it was a cup of tea and something else he had, maybe like an applesauce or something. And I watched him and I said to him, I said, this is your dinner? He said, well, it's my lunch, but I didn't have time to have lunch, it's my dinner. I felt quite sorry because I realized there was no way that he was being cured. So for 2 months after that, I would take him a meal or two just to make sure he had something, you know, substantial that was within the COVID so that at least his body can have some kind of nutrients and he can make it through. However, he did make it through and it's all good. I don't drop by as often as I, because I can't with time allowing. But I often think of Mr. Frank, you know, and how his health is doing. A wonderful spirit indeed. But again, our older folks, they need care. I can't care for everyone, but for those who I could drop by and say hi to, sometime I would take a salad, a soup, a sandwich, just to, you know, extend that gratitude to let them know, take care of yourselves, good health is important, and it really is. Many of my brothers and sisters who come on the phone, they will speak of good health as a wonderful thing that we establish good health, good eating, healthy environments. It also goes with our mind, body, and spirit that we should be healthy in all those areas. So now we are seeing within, as we speak of good health, this has came on the news recently. What I mean, within the last week or 2 days, I've been paying a lot of attention to this special event because for some reason, me and my cronies, we spoke about this, knowing it was happening, and here it is happening. So we are faced with hepatitis. Hepatitis is on the rise. Strangely enough, it's on the rise for our young people. Our youths, I'm speaking of under 16, are being affected and are dying from this wicked disease or condition, I should say. What is happening? It's happening worldwide. This information, the news will not like to report, because they do not wish for the nosy-nosies to get to the bottom of this, because a lot of exposure will point to the real culprit. But for those of us who don't sit on our eyes because we have our head in the sky and our feet firmly planted in the ground, we have seen this coming. So I'll let you know, because as I said on Sadie Sundays, we speak the truth. We have no makeup story. And anything that's being said can have a fact check done on it. You can come back next Sunday. I am here available from 7 p.m. to 9, and we can talk about it. But I'm saying this is Sadie Sunday, and we share truth. Hepatitis and the disease that has come about, it's a clear case of the adverse effects of that wicked fact that was given. It is now playing on our organs, and for those of us who know, we expected this to happen. Now it's being spoken of in the medical community in whispers, simply because the wicked pharaohs of this earth, they know that they will have adverse effects on the organs of those who have taken this wicked fact. Now, not everybody is going to be affected, but a great majority is going to be affected. So here we are with a few humans, or rather a great amount of young people rotting from the inside. And this is a fact. Who don't like it, want to debate it, you can come back with your information, do your research. And I'm here to challenge you with further medical information that was given by doctors. It's not that type of show this evening where we're going to call up doctors' name and everything. But for those who wish to, as I said, debate this conversation, I will have for the next week the doctor's name. I will be sending the videos on your phone so you all can look at it yourself. A group of doctors, I think the head doctor from Germany and a few other doctors, they came to conclusions whereby they spoke of things to come and the adverse effect of this wicked fact that men and women and children were forced to take. Well, they didn't really put a gun to your head, but, you know, there were circumstances whereby some people say, ah, it's my job, or I have to take it because I got to go to the gym. So, well, to each his own, and here we are. Hepatitis is on the rise. A very, very crucial time in the medical field, because now we are seeing organ failure. This is the case of soon the liver and the kidneys. Wow. Here we go. Like if we didn't have enough trouble already upon the earth. So this is a real. Please check out this information. We have seen that hepatitis among our young people, and this is not only happening in the United States, but it's happening worldwide, which is so frightening. It's happening worldwide. And think of the poor countries where healthcare is really dwindling away. Some far places in Africa, we speak for our motherland, we speak for India, where we see the death numbers with certain, you know, what diseases that can easily be taken care of, like in the United States, because, you know, something happened to your kidney, you go for dialysis, you go for 2 hours in the machine, la, 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 la. Maybe after a year or so, you could be all right. But think of the countries whereby these facilities are not available, and to the poor, especially where they have to pay for such health care, because to pay for health care is really, really traumatic, because these are high-tech that only the rich can afford. So imagine the poor kids in India, Africa, some in the Caribbean, they will just have to drop dead, and that's just a plain fact. So we are here with our Sadie Sunday, a wonderful Sunday indeed. As I said, we want to give thanks for life. Thanks for being here for one more day where we can share within ourselves our very thoughts. And, of course, for those who are listening with us, welcome to the show. We thank you so very much. So, Dr. Winborn, I am going to ask you to help me through with the studio, those who are in the studio audience, that you may open your mics and engage in conversation. Dr. Winborn? Well, as we continue with Sadie Sunday, I don't know if my co-host is not hearing me. I am hoping that he can be present, that he can open the mics of the studio audience. Dr. Winborn, are you there? Okay, as I said, you know, I'm not able to see the board at this time. I am asking for my co-host, Dr. Winborn. I don't know if I'm... Dr. Robinson, are you able to hear me? It seems that my co-host has totally fell out. I don't know what has happened. As I continue with Sadie Sunday, time we would invite the audience to join us in conversation.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy Big D.
It's your folk checking traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy Bossalina.
Your boy Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy Joe Dirt.
And yo, what up? It's your boy Buddha, aka Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Shell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude Insane G.
What up? This your boy Jihad, aka J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Size Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy J Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
And we're back.
Okay, so thank you so very much, my big brother, Dr. Ron Robinson. I know we're having a little technical difficulties earlier on, but as you say, we are back. So this is Sadie Sunday, as I welcome you. It's Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, for the Woman Auxiliary. Our topic of conversation for those who are just joining us, we are speaking of the distractions of the day, the distractions that are there on the television, the newspaper, that is taking us away from what is really, really going to happen. So this have a way of, you know, soaping us, throw our minds in a different direction. As I spoke about earlier on, the Johnny Depp divorce case with his wife Amber or ex-wife and all the drama that goes with it. But we also speak of a more serious event whereby hepatitis is on the rise. Hepatitis is on the rise, frighteningly so for our young children. These are our youngsters, 16 and under. It's a case for alarm, yes, because it's happening worldwide. But I guess this news would only have 2 minutes conversation and then we quickly sweep it under the rug. But for real, our kids are being affected and they are dying. So this is a case whereby that wicked vax that we were forced to take, some of us, has adverse effects on our organs. So for those of us who are here with us, wish to join in conversation, these are the topics that we are discussing. And Dr. Robinson, you're able to see the queue, so can you please open the mics of those who are there that they can engage in conversation on this wonderful Sunday.
Okay, we know that we had to recoup, so people have to come back on again as well.
Okay,
waiting for people to come back on.
Okay, so do you want to weigh in on the conversation, Dr. Robinson, while we wait?
Yeah, I mean, hepatitis has been around for God knows how long. I mean, it's been around for a long time. Tuberculosis, hepatitis. I know hepatitis come in different levels. Hepatitis C come in different, different levels of it. It can be cured with different types of medication. It has to be, people have to be taken care of in the early stages. It's an inhibited type of disease. It can sustain itself in your body for over a period of years if it's not treated correctly, and if it's not treated at the early stages, it could reoccur in different forms and different ways based on the level of infection in your body, and how strong is your immune system, how strong is the white blood cells, how strong is your resistance, as well. And like you said, what happened is a lot of unprotected sex, a lot of sex totally, it would continue to spread from person to person to person to person to person. I'm trying to think. There's an airborne disease as well that accumulates from it. Tuberculosis, hepatitis. I forget. It's so many of them in different form, but I've got the other one that's airborne. It if a person coughs in the air, it can be one can get it as well. And then, on top of that, the fact that we have coronavirus and we have, coronavirus, we have the virus, we have the pandemic, we have the Micron, we have different levels of even the coronavirus. We have different levels of that as well, affecting the immune system. So when you combine these things together, it has a bad effect on the body as well, because they all are attacking your immune system. So they're deleting your ability to resist incoming diseases and sicknesses. And so you find yourself, in a very difficult situation. So, yeah, these are diseases that have been around for a long time. Syphilis, STDs, it's just so many of them that affect the immune system as well. And so when you find that we're in the pandemic, we're in a situation where the body immune system is being attacked, when it's attacked in several different ways with several different types of infections, it makes it very difficult for it to recoup itself and to fight against these foreign bodies that's coming into your system and attacking the white blood cells, red blood cells, that's getting to your bloodstream in your system. And it's affecting your internal bloodstream system, which is what most of these kind of diseases will do. So, we have to curtail this disease. You have to get it under control. Young people who do not, if their parents are not aware of them being affected, they would not probably get, exam for it. They probably won't go to an infectious disease doctor and get a control of it. That the New York Department of Health have health centers located all throughout the country, and the health department, what they do is they take data. They take data they take from each center, each medical facility, each doctor. They get the stats. On hepatitis and all these kind of diseases, and then they see, the infectious disease control center. Once they get the status and the data and the information, they see that this thing is blown out of proportion. Their job is to go in and develop ways and means and information and medical facilities that would assist in the areas where they have a high level of this hepatitis or any kind of STD or diseases to get it under control. And so if parents are not aware, a lot of children are not aware, or most times children are not going to say anything, and it's very unlikely that they would seek out medical assistance to control their hepatitis. And if that's the case, it would go from one level to the next level. So the important thing also for parents to be aware of their children's activities and what's going on with their children on a physical and health level, get your children physical exams every year, you know, whatever the doctor requires to schedule, physical exam, blood work, urine work, you know what I'm saying, total myoscopic and lab test of your child's physical situation, his physical body, his physical health, also mental health. It affects that as well. So in order to get it under control, we have to get young people into hospitals and doctor's offices and medical centers, healthcare centers, and have a total treatment. The medical health centers and the medical health treatment in each state is different. The federal government puts in guidelines when they know, when the Infectious Disease Control Center, when they know that there is a disease out there and the data is there, they're supposed to send out research information and give directives to different medical facilities, state, federal, city, give them directives and information on what they need to do and to control it in their area. So they're basically supposed to get data from all the states, and the data supposed to tell them where are the highest affected areas and the age group of the affected areas, the affected people. And from the stats and the statistics, they make up the Infectious Disease Control Center, they make up a litmus of exams and litmus of procedures to follow that would help each community get their young people examined so that they can get this under control. If they're not working on it, if they're not controlling it, if we're not taking it under control, and people not going to medical centers and getting medication for it, it would continue to go on and on and on. I know that they're giving out different levels of medication because children's a little more different than an adult, being that you're saying that these are 15-year-old, 14-year-old. 16 and under, 16 and over, maybe 16, 17, 18, can get the same level of dosage of medication that a adult gets at the age of 21. But when you talk about somebody 14, 15, that's a different, according to, you know, medical science, a different physiological structure. So they have to, administer medication differently. In dosages and things things of that sort, because of younger people, I know that over the years, when diseases hit young people, it's out of control in a sense, because there's no young people don't have a sense of what's going on in their physical body. If the parents are not getting on routine medical checks, they don't know what's going on. So usually it goes undetected for a period of time, you know. And so that primarily affects the child's body. I'm trying to remember medication that's given for a certain level of diseases and et cetera, for the antibodies to be destroyed from the disease as well. So, and we live in a sexual society now. I mean, social media has just exposed children to so much stuff that adults, the adult world, in terms of sexuality, in terms of adult material in terms of pornography and et cetera. It's terrible. Young children are exposed to things, you know. And it's not, it's not very helpful. It's not very helpful. It's a free society. It's a me society, and everybody's doing their thing. And sometimes they're doing it with 3 and 4 and 5, you know, and generally most of this with young people at that age, sexual contact is unprotected. And sometimes there's multiple partners, you know, and sometimes there's, you know, group sex or whatever you want to call it, menage a trois, people, you know, for a French word. And, you know, it's out of control. It's out of control, you know. It's totally out of control. The society is out of control. The children are out of control. Well, children basically mimic the society for what they see it. You know, their mental condition is not even at the age of 25. A lot of people don't have a maturity. A lot of people mature slower than others. A lot of people adapt to environment different than others. A lot of people see things from a different perspective. A lot of people grow up in environments that are not really healthy environments, you know, whether it's a medical or mental or social environments that are very risky, you know, sort of, so you end up with a high at-risk population of people that have exposure to disease, drugs, you know, contaminated food, food that's processed, food that's high in sugar, food that's very devastating to one's physical body. Dr. Winborn is on as well. He's back.
Okay, Dr. Winborn, I don't know if you're able to contribute. I know you're having some technical difficulties. So if you're there and you wish to say a few words, you know, reflect on the fact that Dr. Roberts Knight, where you said we are in a highly sexualized society whereby our young children, or rather the teenagers who think they're already grown, their bodies are grown, but their mind is still underdeveloped in terms of handling a sexual situation whereby even multiple partners are involved, where they would think that it's a joke or maybe some kind of feather in their cap. But this, in fact, is quite damaging to the body and the spirit, because one should really share oneself within sexual pleasures with just one person exclusively. And should it not work out, well, then you can change partners. But to have this great race of 4 and 5, you know, to just for bragging rights, could also be very damaging within the spirit and for the body as well. So thanks for sharing that with us. And again, Dr. Winborn, if you're here, we would like to hear from you this evening.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Let me say this. I'm sorry. You know, I just remember the name now, penicillin. That's what they use for sexual disease control, penicillin. That's what I meant to say. Sorry about that.
All right. So it sounds like we have a rise in our young people in hepatitis. And I think that it's a combination of things. I do think that I don't know if our young people are any more sexually active than they have been. However, I think that we have a rise in hepatitis because their immune systems now are weaker. Whereas, we're all just speaking our opinion, you know, what we believe. I don't have any data to back this up, but it would seem to me those of our young people that have received the jab, perhaps that have made them weaker and behavior that they could normally do before now cannot be done, because whereas their body would have fought off certain foreign agents or certain diseases that would appear. Now the body doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. And as far as distractions are concerned, it's funny you should say that because I've been thinking that all this week about all of the new distractions that are that are coming up. I hadn't even thought so much about the Johnny Depp trial, but I had thought about the sports and how they're expanding the sports now, and now you can get football around year round. And now you can get basketball year-round and some of these other sports, anything to keep you engaged. All types of reality shows and programs, competitions and game shows and new game shows. And you got channels now just full of game shows and just things to keep you distracted so that you don't see and realize what is going on. So I think that each of us have gotten maybe little pieces of the puzzle. You know, the scripture says we know in part, we understand in part. But if we're able to take out different parts and put them together, there's a possibility we can come up with a coherent whole to kind of explain the phenomenons that we see happening now, the phenomenons that we see happening around us. You know, I heard the other day, I can't remember which one of the pharmaceutical companies it was that created the vaccine, but I believe it was the Moderna. And there's one of the individual scientists that was on those committees putting the vaccine together. You know, they had a discussion with how they have killed God. All right? They have killed God. And how have they have killed God? Is because they have chemically modified the DNA, okay, which is your direct connection, your divinity to source. They know this even if we don't know this. And they are bragging that they've been able to kill God by being able to manipulate the DNA and change it from its natural form to a form which they have created in the laboratory. And I would imagine that as time goes on, more and more of these things will come out. All right, don't forget, you know, the other things is we still got the whole January 6th and the insurrection and, you know, and all of these things. And we got, you know, Russia threatening to use nuclear power. And, you know, then on top of that, we got people talking about they've seen the mothership in the sky. So we got all kind of stuff going on right now. And they got all type of distractions out there to keep us just unaware. I guess that's the best way that I can, that, you know, just unaware and ill-informed as to what indeed is going on. But even in the midst of that, they will not be successful because there are those that have been conscious enough not to go that direction. And so they have not been able to totally manipulate the whole gene pool. But the funny thing about it is almost they've concluded that, well, we've done whatever damage we could do now, and so let's just move on to something else. And you're absolutely right. It's like COVID has just gone away, have just, you know, faded off into the ether with the SARS virus and with the Spanish flu and with all everything else that's forgotten about. Because you're absolutely right. And that White House press correspondence dinner, the press was pressed together. And then not one person in that whole place, from what I can see, had on a mask. So it's like, okay, you know, that show was over. let's go on to a different show now, and we just move on as if there's nothing else happened. But those of us that believe from the beginning that something was wrong with this picture says, okay, well, you know, their behavior now totally makes sense. You know, as if it never happened. Let's move on. We got other things to do now. So that's where we're at. That's my little two cents.
I thank you so very much, Dr. Winborn, and I would like to elaborate on the fact that you have said one thing for sure that they are boasting about. I have heard it before on where they said, we have killed God. This is Satan, that wicked serpent, his divine plan. But what it has, since they have manipulated the DNA, for people, certain people are unable to find that love and that connection to the Godhead. So you find that people now being compromised within their mind would find that they are praying less, they are believing less, they are more in fear, they are more in doubt. And the Holy Spirit cannot exist in a body where there's fear and doubt, because we have to go for trusting and believing. So I am happy that you reflected upon that, because this is something else that they are working on, and this is within our mental capacity, and hence the reason we would see a rise in mental illness. Because when you're unable to communicate with that sweet, sweet spirit, that Holy Spirit that guides us and protect us, the next stage is madness. Because we are faced with the pressures of this world, and how do we get through the pressures of this world if we cannot call out to our Lord and Savior to help us to just understand? Because some days are very difficult days, some days are easy, but some days we know on every day we must give thanks unto the Almighty just for life, just to see us through, just for our 24 hours. It's impossible to live without Him. So I'm happy you reflected upon that area within the destruction that is being taken place. And also for the many distractions, I had to laugh myself, because one day I was home doing nothing because I had to rest a little bit. And I put on the TV, and I couldn't believe how many game shows there were. I looked about five game shows back to back. And I said, but there's nothing of substance. I mean, I was happy for the moment. I laugh and I jolly around. And then I stopped to think, where is the substance? You know, where's the beef?
Mindless entertainment. You know, it's like the Queen said, let them eat cake. You know what I mean? Give them the gladiator game. Just get their mind over what's really going on. Right. They got a whole channel now just dedicated to games. You watch all the games you want. In case you can't find no new games, they have games back from the time. I mean, listen, I looked at the Lawrence Welk show yesterday, okay? All right, I looked at the Jackson 5 from back when they was the Jackson 5s on the Lawrence Welk show. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. The problem is we don't know. But it looks like we're waking up maybe, hopefully. I got my fingers crossed.
Well, for those who are woke, we know for sure we cannot go back to sleep. That's for sure we know. So maybe those who have yet not awoken.
That's the penalty of waking up. You can't go back to sleep.
No. Awesome. Here we are. But is there anybody else in the queue, Dr. Robinson, that we could bring in?
Yeah, I'm going to bring someone in. I just want to say also tuberculosis. Tuberculosis, hepatitis, airborne diseases, sexual diseases affect each other, you know. So, and then they use the, what I said there, the, oh, God, I've been getting a senior moment here. I was saying they use
penicillin.
Right, penicillin, correct. But there's another, I was trying to remember, there's another drug they give often over the time. It was just, I know penicillin is one, but there's another one as well. I just forgot the name of it. But I was just saying that, you know, the Infectious Disease Control Center, that's their job, is to review and to find out when the diseases are going out of control. But if people are not, you know, like I said, if people are not getting exams and children are not going to get their general physical exams, that's how another way it gets out of control as well. So I hope I said that. I'm just trying to remember what I said. But anyway, you're right. And the part of what Dr. Winborn is saying, taking away God out of everything, no morals, no ethics. You know, there's nothing that children don't understand that they don't know about, that they had no business knowing about. You know, even adults need to be morals and ethics. You know, adults set the precedent. We set the standard on how, you know, life should be lived. If young men are going to be good young men and be good husbands and boyfriends and stuff, it's going to be an example set that they see. So when the morals and the ethics of the society is broken down and there is none, and the adults are acting like loose change, the children are going to act like loose change too. So if women, adult women are dressing and very provocatively and you know, showing everything and trying to attract every man they can get, the young girls are going to look at that as, interpret that as normal. So we live in a society now where there's no morals, there's no ethics, there's no limits, there's no nothing, and the children are the victims because their observation is what they're learning. From the young age, you see them at 2 years old on the YouTube shaking themselves up and, you know, doing all kinds of provocative dances and whatnot. And this is a part of being in this young Generation X, having children, like they say years ago, children having children. Okay?
Right.
Grandmothers are young.
Right. Grandma 35.
There you go. There you go. And it'll get crazy. Well, I'm opening up mic 914-338.
Yes, good evening. This is Brad. I overheard your conversation. I wanted to see if I could just speak with you and say hello and let you know that penicillin in today's world, of course, it was discovered by the Scottish physician in 1928 in London, England, at St. Mary's University Hospital. And penicillin also can be used to fight other ailments such as rheumatoid arthritis and hepatitis B and C and gonorrhea A through D. And along with penicillin, you could fight it with antibiotics. And also it could also be fought with benzodiazepine calcium. It's a modern-day interpretation for anti-inflammatories for people who have rheumatoid arthritis and hepatitis B and C. So penicillin is probably, along with the modern-day interpretation of syphilis that used to be fought in the 80s during the beginnings of the AIDS crisis, or HIV is what people still say. So I just wanted to include, you know, come into the conversation and just let you know about that. Today they give it children in the school today, MMR, which is that penicillin is inculcated into the shot. When children and young adults up until their 30s get measles, mumps, and rubella is the abbreviation for MMR. So in the inculcation of the shot, you still have penicillin in the shot that Dr. Jonas Salk was the one who discovered the cure for polio by using penicillin in 1954. So I wanted to just speak with you about that and let you know about that, because I heard the conversation. I just wanted to say that before I said goodnight.
Well, Brad, we thank you so very much for being a keen listener to share with us your medical history and giving us a history of things. We thank you so very much because it's Daily Sunday. We speak truth. We give knowledge. So, Brad, thank you so much for your contribution, and join us every time that you wish us. Always happy to hear
you. Thank you very much for letting me come on the show.
Okay, thank you so very much.
And have a good night now.
You have a good night to you also. So, Dr. Robert Smith, if anyone else in the queue, we can take another caller at this moment.
I guess they're coming, you know, we're still waiting for people to come back as well.
Okay, so how are we looking with the text messages or the emails that came through?
Nothing at this moment.
Okay. So it's a quiet Sadie Sunday. I guess a lot of people went cycling because I know there was a big cycling show whereby you could just join in and ride your bicycle. I can guess you went over the Verrazano Bridge or the Bell Parkway, but there was a wonderful Sunday event to let us know summer is coming and we need to get out there in the sun our vitamin D, very important, to take a walk in the sun. Or just take a walk, let's say, because it's so very important, exercise for our body. You don't have to join a gym or have a private trainer, but as I once heard a really nice old lady said, she said, just keep it moving. She was 80 years old, formerly she was a dancer, and she just showed you every single day of your life, keep your body moving. So whether you run, you walk, you jump, just do something to keep that body moving, keep your core strong. Of course, nutrition is a big part of it, but exercise. I cannot stress enough how well 15, 20 minutes can do for your livelihood. I'm telling you, I engage in exercise. It don't have to be strenuous, but I would go for a walk in the sun 15 minutes down the road, and I know when I walk back up to the house, it's another 15 minutes. So clearly, I would do half an hour of cardio, low impact, just walking fast. It don't have to be running, but just you walking fast to know that, okay, I'm going to break a little sweat right here. You slow it down, but you keep it moving. Your heart will thank you for it. And just as they say, an apple a day keep the doctor away. I am saying 15, 20 minutes of walking, being outside. It's your pace. You're not in competition with anyone. You're just enjoying yourself. But the key word is keep it moving. Let the body always be engaged in movement, and that adds to our life, our liberty, and it's wonderful advice. So for us who are listening in, our topic of conversation this evening, we speak of the various distractions that have taken place within the last week or two. We see a lot of celebrities coming forward with their sub-stories. I mean, who cares, because they're really actors anyway, and that's part of the program. It has been part of the program ever since we saw Will Smith slap Chris Rock. So that had its significance as to the start of what is going on, because that was quite fabricated, designed, and cultured and shaped in every form to put our minds somewhere else. So for the proud black men who are there and standing strong with intelligence, they all had a good laugh to know, well, hear what? This is how they want to portray successful black men? No, the idea is no. I have known a successful black man who looked down upon that act with a disgrace, because there's no dignity in it, there's no integrity in it. And what is it for? In a matter of fact, I thought Will Smith was a little more intelligent than that, but then maybe he didn't really make it through school. He went to those schools on the bus because he was a star since he was 9. So we forgive him. Chris Rock, on the other hand, has a more stable environment because his mom is quite pissed off of the whole thing. She came on national TV and said she's very upset. She ain't playing that. She said she is very upset. So I know she have different standards. I have not yet heard anything Chris Rock said. Maybe he spoke, but I can't really follow up with all the nonsense. So, which is clearly what it is. And at this time,
I believe that slap set us back. I was embarrassed, and I almost felt like I had got slapped. And you look, you say, okay, so these people represent the top of the echelon of black success, and this is how they act out in front of the whole world. The slap that was heard around the whole world, where one black man slapped another black man because of jokes. I was horrified. I lost so much respect and admiration that I had for Will Smith left with that slap. And I have not been able to get it back.
Well, let me interrupt you.
There's a lot to that. Will Smith is in India. And I just happened to be doing some business with people in India, and they happened to see him in India on the Bollywood, the Indian program, television, Yeah, they're looking up on Hollywood. Yeah, so he's over there laughing it up and having a good time. He's been upgraded in terms of his movie star status, in terms of his grade to get. They said his, in terms of his grade, the next movie he can do, he can get, you know, 20, 30, 40 million. You know, Chris Rock tickets went from $90, $100 to $900 to $1,000 in Boston, where he played in a theater down there. He did his first open, you know, back to the comedian stage, stand-up comedy. He did it in Boston. And it's fun, it's ironic to me that your ticket sales is already set. You're set to do this thing in a week, and your tickets go up from $90 to $100 to $900, $1,000. You know, now, there's a lot of other stuff Dr. Boyce Watkins and Dr. Claude Anderson brought up. They said, number one, would they have done this? Would Chris Rock have said it to a white actress? Would Will Smith smack a white comedian if he had said that about his wife? You know, things that make you, like Senior Hall says, things that make you say, you know, it makes you think about. Also, it made me thought about the fact that all of a sudden, Chris Rock tickets go up. The way to smack, the whole thing, some people felt it was all orchestrated. It was all set up because the way it was done. Will was laughing. Jada looked as upset to a certain extent, like, you know, that how women roll their eyes and, you know, the hell with you type of look. And Will, all of a sudden, he gets so mad instamatically, you know, and then he goes up there. And Chris Rock just stand there, like he putting his face out with his hands.
Right, he never moved. It was the reflex.
Right. And then he kept saying, oh, here he come. Oh, you know, like he knew. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, like, you know, because if somebody's walking up on the stage, you know, that's not protocol. That's not a part of the process. And then you're standing there and the person is coming towards you. And it's just like you just got your face out there like, you know, hit me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it looked like a whole bunch of, you know, everybody's got a different text on it. Everybody got a different angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just ironic to me that your sales can go up that quick within a week. You already scheduled to do this, the stand-up comedy in Boston. I'm talking about Chris Rock. Tickets already been sold at $90 and $100 or $200 at the max. Then all of a sudden, after you get smacked, tickets right then on that same show, people stop paying $900 and $1,000 for tickets. It just, you know, and I know Hollywood is about money. It's about, you know, entertainment. It's about, you know, you got people don't realize that these entertainers have what they call, I forgot what they call these people. These people are called, I forgot the name of these people. These people, what they do is they set you up so you can, like, for instance, you don't have, you know, like a Chris Rock ain't been around for a minute. Nobody, you know, his brand is sort of going down. He's not talked about a lot, all the television and movies and all that stuff, because these people are branded. These people are like a Cadillac. They're branded. You know, they need people talking about them. They need things going on. So they have these people called, I forgot what they call them, but besides the agents, they have a like a publicity person. Okay,
right.
These publicity people, what they do is they sit around and think about ways to recreate you. You know, like
that's
Oprah,
another thing I would help you out with a name. They're called propaganda ministers.
Okay, well, they're propaganda ministers. Yeah, you know what? These people sit around. All their job is to sit around and figure out. It's like, okay, Raven, that's so Raven. She haven't been around for a while. All of a sudden, she marries a white girl, and she's a lesbian, and, you know, and she's going through all these different things, and then now she's exposing herself that she loved this girl. Publicity. These people, publicity stunts. When these actors and actresses, when people hear that their name is a trademark, It's their brand. When their names are branded, it's just like peanut butter and jelly got called Skippy. Peanut butter's called Skippy is a brand. Ancient Mama Pancake Flyway is a brand. Cadillac is a brand. These people's names are branded, and their names need to be worth something. That's why a 50 Cent sold water and bought into the water and sold the water for $50 million because his name meant something. His brand meant something. And so these actors and actresses and entertainers, they're constantly trying to what they say. And I heard them say this so many times on these talk shows, I got to recreate myself. I got to recreate myself. You know what I'm saying? You find some of these people come on the scene one day, the next day, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're being branded by some of the greatest. And this is how the movie industry, the music industry, the entertainment industry is controlled, because these production companies, these managers, these agents, these corporations, they own these people, and they put billions and millions of dollars into these people, branding them. That's why all of a sudden I find out after Will smacks Chris, all of a sudden they're the greatest stars in the world. I never heard that Chris or Will was the biggest box office hits, that they were the greatest international entertainers. I never heard that until they smack each other. If anybody heard that before, I know Will Smith was big. I know Will Smith is known in a lot of countries. I know he had played movies in other countries, did all that stuff. I know Chris been around, but I never heard anybody prior to the smack refer to them as the biggest entertainers in the world. Now, white people have a tendency to try to upgrade things or downgrade things or make you look good or make you look bad, because you remember, the publicity agents, they're going to go at each other now. See, Chris Rock has a publicity agent. He has a manager. He has a whole group of people behind him. You know what I'm saying? Just like I found out, J-Lo has people. She don't talk to you. J-Lo has a woman that goes around with her even when she's on the plane and she wants some wine and cheese. This girl and the woman at the airline stewardess said she felt disrespected because she was standing right there in front of J-Lo, and she wanted to ask, I guess she was a fan as well, she wanted to ask her what did she need. And J-Lo wouldn't say nothing. The woman, her assistant, said she would have some wine and some cheese. And J-Lo wouldn't look at this woman, wouldn't say nothing to this woman. And that's what I'm saying about these entertainers. They got their situation set up to make themselves prominent, to make themselves worthy of the dollar that they request. And will go on a show and say, just like what's her name? This woman that played Precious, the heavyset black woman.
Yeah, I know you're talking. I can't think of her name, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, she said she felt disrespected because Oprah and Tyler Perry only paid her $90,000 for the movie. But she said, just like everybody else who made millions, she was expected to go on tour. That means go and represent the movie and expose the movie and advertise the movie, talk about the movie in different venues. And she said she felt, you know, Monique, that's her name, Monique.
Mm-hmm.
So Monique was saying, if people don't know, there was a big, and show you about branding and being unbranded. Monique went after Oprah and Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry said to her, don't come after me because I'll tear your brand down. Oprah said, don't open your mouth about me because I'll make sure you don't work again. If you don't know it, for a couple of years, Monique got no jobs.
At all.
And she was going, right, at all. Her and her husband had a talk show that closed down, okay? She went on her talk show. The only menu she had was her talk show with her husband, and she went on the defense against Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is a powerful person, if you will, in the entertainment industry. So Oprah just tore her off the map when she went on her when Monique went on her program with her husband, her talk show, and talked about Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey being Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes and disrespecting black entertainers and black actors and actresses.
And so
and
you
putting
know what they
certain...
said they did? What they did was replace Monique with Tiffany Haddish.
Mm. That,
like
isn't that, and see, there you go. There
like
you go. That's
Cat
right.
Williams
that's right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish was the was not an A-list
nobody,
actress.
Nobody.
She was was probably a Z-list. And all
right.
of a sudden, she do
right.
With that she did that movie Traveling Girls or something,
right.
Girlfriends or something. And,
mm-hmm.
Right. And boom, overnight, you hear nothing but Tiffany Haddish. Da da da. Then she started dating, what's the brother's name?
Common.
Yeah, she started dating Common. Next thing you know, they dating, they break up, they get back together. Then they talked about marrying. Then they talked about having a baby. You know, this is what I'm saying. People got to realize this stuff is fairy tale land. You know, this stuff is entertainment. And that's what these people do. And Steve Harvey always said, remember, this is entertainment business. It's business plus entertainment. So that's why they dress a certain way, they drive a certain car, they live in a certain neighborhood, they hang out with certain people, they even marry. People don't know like this, like J-Lo been married about 6-7 times already, and she divorced quicker than she married. So, but it's all a part of you marry somebody who can upgrade your
right.
brand.
Like
so you marry, so she married, right? There you go. So she dated. They said she dated P. Diddy. Then she went from P. Diddy to this other man and this other entertainer. Then she ended up with A-Rod with rumors of getting married, but they said there was no really intentions because he was going back to his ex. You know, so it's this soap opera thing going on. Then she ended up back with this white cat. I forgot his name, Beck or something like that. This white entertainer who she, Ben Affleck, she had married him before.
They were engaged and never got married.
Right. No, they said I read they were married and got immediately divorced, got back together again, broke up, and now here they're going back again for a fourth time. It's crazy. But people,
it took 17 years to get it right.
Right, but if you do not read this stuff, if you do not understand this stuff, because I'm not an entertainer, like some people are into entertainers, they love them and they run behind them and they're groupies. I'm not like that, but I can see for what it is. I can see the jive. I can see, you know, the jive in and out. Now, I don't know, you know, because Marlon Wayans brothers was saying Will needs psychological help. A lot of people were saying, you know, then he talked about his mother and his father and the abusive relationship his mother and father have. Both of them, Chris and Will, come from good families, upper middle class, whatever, Philly. Chris is from Philly. Will is from Queens, New York. They come up in middle class families, but got into the entertainment business about around the way. But, you know, and his father was abusive, and there was a lot of things going on, you know, with the father and the alcoholism and abuse. Will Smith experienced a dramatic thing. I think he was 8 or 9 or something. His father knocked his mother out. He didn't do anything, and he always felt powerless, he says. And so maybe he's acting out this need to feel like he's protecting his family, because that's what he said in his presentation for the award, the Oscar award that, you know, the Serena father was a protector of his family, and so maybe I don't know. It's, you know, but it's a whole bunch of stuff.
Let me just join in right here, because you know Will Smith needs to realize his confusion came after the movie 6 Degrees of Separation when they purposely had him had male sex. So if Will needs to identify his problems, he needs to go back to that movie and realize what they did to him in the name of making movies. Because clearly, we know Will Smith was gay right after that. He had homosexual sex. You got to pay attention to that movie, 6 Degrees of Separation. Total filth. They also did it as well to that other pretty one. What's her name? Halle Berry. Halle Berry had a movie which hit the box office, but Halle was very traumatized because of what she had to do in the movie. So therefore, they really need psychological help. But before we go on any further or bring in anybody else, I had me a real case of laughter when I saw Mike Tyson punch the guy in the plane. Has anybody saw that?
I didn't see the guy. I saw him. I saw the part when he was hitting for the back of the head. You know, I saw the black guy that was trying to say, hey, hey, hold on, you know, trying to stop him. I saw that part. But I saw just him bent over, you know, punching something. But
well, I wish you had seen the whole of it, because what happened is there was this white guy, young, apparently, you know, had a few cocktails, one too many at the bar. And what he wanted as well was his 50 minutes of fame. So clearly I watched the whole video on TMZ. He was taunting Mike Tyson, taunting him. Now, you know, Mike, his patience is not of the longest, because I'm saying any man who can tattoo his face, I wouldn't take a chance on interfere with a man like that. So therefore, he was there taunting. But what was remarkable, however, as we speak again of, you know, going on the map or having our names called, Mike Tyson was obviously there with some kind of manager, promoter, or some sort of bodyguard, or some sort of person he was there with. And I was wondering, you know, if that too was in the case of Mike name being called or Mike making the news, because the guy who was there with him never really tried to hold Mike back. And, you know, Mike was quite vulnerable at that point. When he started one punch, I guess he just remembered the ring, he punched the guy like about 10 times. I'm not saying who deserved what, but I myself don't like to be provoked. I am no Mike Tyson, but I really hate, you know, and the Bible tells us provocation is of the devil. I hate to be provoked, so I would hate to know I'm in an arena and someone is, say it, and I don't want to be announced or be called out. I too can be a little perturbed. I mightn't punch you, but I know for sure I will be upset. Because there are sometimes you want to have a quiet moment. When I'm on a plane, really, I just want to pray, because I know it's like this. Please, Lord, don't let this thing drop in the water, please. So I don't want nobody to interfere with me, talk to me, because I might be in deep prayer. I swear to God, when I'm on a plane, I'm going from here to Las Vegas even. I was like, my God, it's 6 hours. I didn't know New York to Las Vegas for 6 hours. I had to pray like 3 prayers, because I thought it was just like a 2-hour ride. I said, my God, am I going back to Trini? And that whole trip, there was a lot of people who wanted to have fun because we're going to Las Vegas. And really, at that point, I didn't want anybody to talk to me, because I was like, here what? I need to pray. I'm going to Sin City. This plane might just drop in the water. I probably have no business going to Las Vegas, but I just want to just go anyway. So at that point, if someone had provoked me, I wouldn't have been too happy. So all the same, I understand Mike Tyson was on his way to some kind of, you know, weed conference. So as we know, this thing is legal now, and Mike is a public advocate for, you know, that herb. He lets you know he smokes morning, noon, and night, which is probably a very good thing for him, because it keeps him calm. And, you know, there was no weed in the plane. So it come like, don't interfere with Mike, you know, please leave him alone. But all the same, made for good TV. I had me such a good laugh, because, like, look at this nigga. There we go. You want to provoke a man with a tattoo on his face? Oh, he busts his ass. And I laughed. That shit was really funny, I'm telling you now, because it showed. When you see celebrities, sometimes you have to give them their space. They're humans too, you know, and sometimes some people don't be bothered, you know. So there we go, watching and seeing a case where I don't think that was staged. That was a case of Mike Tyson get pissed off, and he threw a few punches, and he landed well, and I had me a good laugh. So that's my part of sharing the comedy part of the evening. Is there anybody else in the queue, Dr. Robinson?
Not yet. We're still waiting here.
All right, but we are moving on to like 8:42. So I know we don't want to let it seem like we are pulling too. So if there's nobody else, what are we gonna do? Commercial again?
One commercial coming up.
Okay, let's have it.
Yeah. Oh, entertainment worldwide. Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Move around.
Hey, hey,
move around.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
hey,
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on payment with NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Bossalina.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog. This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for Ray's conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 @gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is so seductive. Live.com. Log on to soseductivelive.com.
So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to soseductivelive.com. I believe in fashion, so Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to soseductivelive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to soseductivelive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment. Worldwide. Network. Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind.
The wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez, put your hands together at this time.
Yes, thank you so very much for this large crowd and that large, wonderful audience of applause. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, for the Woman Auxiliary. Today, we had a wonderful Sunday whereby we shared many topics. Of this main topic of this discussion, we spoke about the distraction and the problem it brings and the trouble it causes while we are gazing at something that has no substance, and the real meat of the matter is being swept under the rug, and before we know it, we have lost out on what is really going on. This too is a very much designed plan. It is designed for those of us who likes what we'll say to have that good time for the moment. So we look at the stars, the actors, the actresses, to see how terrible their lives are, and of course to validate ours, which should not be so because we are each individuals and we have to live a life pleasing unto the Almighty, which is an individual walk that takes time. And as I said, very individual, like a fingerprint, we have
each other lives are quite different, and our journey and expectations also quite different. The actors, for most part, they're just acting out. So what can we do? And then we see whereby, as one caller rightfully stated, Chris Brown tickets are now $900 a pop. Before, you can go to a show for Chris Brown where you have a comedy hour, maybe you pay $100 or even $90. But now, to be in Chris Brown's presence, maybe Chris Brown's next to something. He makes a lot of TV and good news too. Plus, he's cute to look at. Maybe Chris Brown is coming up soon, who knows. But Chris Rock, for my correction, he's now top on the entertainment scale, because people who never knew him before, he has become a household name. People will be able to know him for that, what should we say, famous or infamous slap, which, as Dr. Winborn said, I felt myself how much that slap affected me. I felt like I myself have been slapped, because it was a slap in the face as to how far black people have gone, especially those who have made money. So it shows the higher we climb, the more foolish we become. I would hate to think of myself in that category, but when I see men, you know, have lost their dignities and integrity for a few dollars just for fame and fortune, or just for a design plan, I lost respect. Because really, for Will Smith, I thought after I saw Men in Black, Will Smith was my everything. I was like, damn, he looked good. But then again, look where we are. Here we are caught up in a certain matrix whereby we don't even know if Will is really Will, if he's a clone, you know, what's going on. Jada, I know, is a demon. And really and truly, if we play back that video, Jada, you really wasn't so very upset. And big deal, Jada. You have a bald head. You have a pretty face. You're wearing it well. What's to be upset about? I have heard comedians make worse jokes. They have roasted prime ministers in a worse sort of way. Look at Mr. Trump, for instance. Every day there was a joke played or that way he probably could have been affected. All he would do is put his face in one certain way, which just make you laugh some more. But you're in the limelight and you're there, you would be brandished with jokes and really terrible things being said. Look at Obama. So intelligent, he had everything going on, and all they could think about was the size of his ears. And comedians make a joke about that. He never mind, because with the size of ears, it was to match his brains, because I don't think upon the earth there's much intelligence that we can compare to Obama. When we speak of intelligence, I'm telling you, he's a poster child for it. But the comedians never gave him a chance because he had these big ears. And he himself laughed. Maybe one day he was making a joke, he himself talked about his ears. So therefore, we have to know, when we're in the public, we're in the limelight, things will be said. And if it's jokes and comedy hour, we have to learn to laugh, because there's that lighter side of us whereby we have to learn to laugh. So here we go on that. For the Sunday evening, I want to reflect upon something very important that one caller said, I believe it's Dr. Robinson, where you stated it is very important for us, and even as a people, as a black people, that we should check with our doctors at least once a year to do some blood work, some urine work. Why I say it's so very important, I myself, within the last month to 6 weeks ago, I went and get those things done. And I'm surprised to know blood work pick up every single thing, because I was able to be told I don't have enough sodium in my diet, which I kind of know, because I really lessened my salt, thinking I don't want to get the high blood pressure kind of story, because my mom suffered from that. So I compromised, and I would cook with only just a little tip of salt. And I really, but my blood work show, I did not have enough sodium when they had the count. So simply for 2 days, I was given sodium tablets. I never even know of such, but I was given four to take within a 2-day period to up my sodium. So this was something only the blood work could have told, you know. So I was happy just even for that little bit of information, and there was nothing really so drastic. But imagine, I'm going around thinking, I'm all right, my diet is good, I can cook so well. But imagine, my body was lacking sodium. Something so simple, but you know, that also has effects. So I had to step up a little bit with adding an extra pinch of salt in my diet. So I'm thankful that, you know, Dr. Robinson, I believe, reflected upon that part of our health. It's very necessary. It's inevitable that we do so. Give ourselves, I was even telling my brother, go and get some blood work done, because I just want everybody to know about this. It is so very important that we do this at least once a year for ourselves, for our children, just to see what is going on. With the labs, it can tell every single thing about us. And this is something we need to know, because thereby we are guided in how we should now take care of our health. Our health is our wealth. Without it, we are nothing, because you have a lot of money and you're lying sick in a bed with two nurses by your side. You can't even walk in the sunshine. What's the use of the money? The money is of no use. Somebody in the wings waiting for you to drop dead so they could enjoy that and walk in the sunshine. But let us be mindful of our health being our wealth. I see we are coming to the top of the hour. Again, I want to say this is Sadie Sundays, whereby we are on Sunday evening. You call us at 347-857-1311. The time is from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're always having very interesting topics where you, the studio audience, can partake within the conversation. I'm thanking all of those who came out, my wonderful brother, Dr. Ron Robinson, my big brother, who helps me with the technical part, and, of course, Dr. James Winborn, who I'm always happy to have conversation with, you know, on the show and off the show. And otherwise, you know, it's always so wonderful for us to share and in our day. So as this is Sadie Gomez, I'm just saying to you, good night. Thanking you so very much for coming out. So good night, everyone. And thanking you so very much. Join me again next Sunday from 7 p.m.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're